This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10. Qualities of great faith. Let's begin reading. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, thank you, son. I appreciate it. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, notice when he was saying that he's talking right in front of the 12 disciples and the 70 that he had appointed and sent out. And he's saying to all of them, you guys don't hold a candle to this man. What I want to talk to you about today is this man, this centurion. And I want to talk about some other people in God's word and how they exhibited great faith. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes you find faith in the most unlikely places. Sometimes you find faith that you wouldn't expect to find in people you would never look for it. And this is one of those situations. Faith is the currency of heaven, my friends. Everything that God has provided for you is already assuredly yours for the asking, but it takes faith to procure it. Faith in God's word. Faith is the substance of things I'm hoping for. It's the evidence of things unseen. It is my title deed to what God has promised me, and I utilize the faith that he's given me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is God's faith that he's given to us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When we talk about our faith, we're talking about, and the scripture's talking about, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's their faith that God has given to us. It says, have the faith of God. How many of you know your faith comes from God? It is relationship in action. It is relationship on display. It is, Lord, you said it, therefore I believe it. Amen? And so we need to understand that faith, you can have everything available to you that God has promised. But without faith, without relationship, without trust in his word, a dependency upon his word, a belief in his word, even when your soulish part says, it's hard for me to believe that. I want to introduce a scripture to you. I believe, help thou therefore my unbelief. I believe, help thou therefore my unbelief. There are times when your soul will not believe things, but your spirit is ready to receive it by faith. Okay, turn to Mark 11, 23, please. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Verse 23 then. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, say, his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. My point is this. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe, therefore I speak. These are the things I'm going to be talking about today. But notice what it says in here. I believe, therefore, help thou my unbelief. That's what Jesus was approaching a man, and he said, you know, can you help us? He says, I can help you if you only believe. He says, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. In other words, he believes as far as he knows how to. And did you notice? Jesus didn't turn the man down. He healed the man's child. Somebody say amen. God will accept you where your faith is and work with you from there. Amen. But notice what he says here in Mark 11, 23. He says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, didn't say his head, didn't say his emotions, didn't say his friends, Your friends may doubt that God's word can come to pass in your life. Your emotions may tell you it's never going to happen. Your mind can work against you and say, but logic says, and the doctor's report says, and your brother says, and your mama says, and you even in your mind are thinking, how can this be? But the Bible says you don't have to believe with your mind. You don't have to believe with your emotions. You need only believe in your heart. Amen. And there have been many times my brain said it's not going to happen, but there was something down in my spirit. You know what it was? It was the word of Jesus Christ that says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The doctor just told me this is the way it is. Did you hear what I said? The doctor says, yeah, I heard what you said. But and I understand it, and thank you for your opinion. But inside my spirit, I'm crying, Jesus, thou son of David. Oh, somebody help me. Have mercy on me. When you believe in your heart and do not doubt, it transcends the mind. It transcends your emotions. It transcends facts, because facts are one thing, but God's word is the truth that transcends and trumps facts. Somebody say amen. So I want to tell you about some of these qualities of great faith. Now notice that Jesus is talking to a centurion, and this centurion isn't even part of the beloved. He's not walking with him, but he's a believer in him. And from the most unlikely place, we're going to find that this man has found Jesus to be a worthy prophet. Somebody say amen. Now, the centurions in those days had the power to destroy and to kill. And he could have arrested Jesus and put him to death. Now, you'd have messed with Roman citizens, but even they could have arrested and harmed Roman citizens, because they not only, I love this, the centurions, they didn't lead from behind. They had 100 to 200 or 300 men behind him. He didn't lead from behind. He taught the men how to use their weapons. He taught the men how to strategize in going into war. And he didn't lead from behind. He got out in front and he was in the battle, so they were greatly respected. Now, notice what he said here. One of the great qualities of faith is this, and I see it in this man. This man, this centurion, recognized the authority and the anointing on Jesus' life. You want great faith? You need to recognize the authority and the anointing on Jesus' life. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what your mama says. Doesn't matter what homonym says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You need to focus on Jesus and what he has said about you. Okay? Notice what he said. Just give the word and my servant will be healed. Just give the order. Just give the order. Say it with me. Say it again. God, just say the word. Just say the word. Just say the word. If you've got a word from heaven, if you've got a word from Jesus, if you've got a word from the Holy Spirit, if you've got a word from the Father, doesn't matter what anybody else says. And you won't doubt it in your heart, because when you got a word, it bears witness with your heart that says, doesn't matter what the facts say, I know what the Lord has spoken to me. You've got to have faith and you've got to have confidence in him. You've got to recognize the authority and the anointing on Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It's not, Lord, if it be thy will. It's not, well, you know what, if this falls in place and that falls in place, it's just simple. Lord, you said it, and it's so. And see, that kind of falls over a little bit, because we're so used to looking at what isn't. We're so looking at everything around us. We're so used to being influenced soulishly. My mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my symptoms. Somebody say amen. My circumstances. The Lord says, I don't want you focusing on that. I want you focusing on me and the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Say focus. We're going to find out that we need to focus on the right thing. Number two, this man recognized the grace that is involved in great faith. Say grace. Not entitlement. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get healing. Hello? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get your needs met. Now, assuredly, everything has been provided by God. Everything has been provided for him, but it's not owed to you. Okay? Everything has been made available to us, but it's because of what Jesus has done. And this is liberating to me. You don't have to deserve to be healed to get healed. Because it's not what you've done, it's what he's done. It's not what you deserve, it's what you don't deserve. Somebody say amen. How many of you know that grace is what I don't deserve? Amen. Grace comes in spite of, I get mercy and grace instead of justice. See, doesn't matter what you've earned, thank God, it's not how much you pray. Now, how many of you know if you pray, you're closer to God? How many of you read God's word, you're going to have more faith? But it's not because you read, it's not because you pray that you get your healing. It's because he has provided the healing. Oh, somebody help me out here. I don't know about you, but there's been many times I've gone to God and I said, Lord, I don't deserve this. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't read enough. I'm so glad he didn't look on me. He looks on him. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith? So this thing is liberating. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to earn it, and I don't have to deserve it. In fact, I can't earn it, and I can't deserve it. Okay? We in and of our own works deserve nothing. It's because of Jesus and his authority that we are able to receive by faith and by having faith in what he has done for us, because he just loves you. Say, he loves me. Number three, a recognition and submission to authority. This man, one of the qualities of great faith was his ability to recognize and submit to authority. Okay? When you are under Jesus, that is the only way you can be over the devil. When you are under Jesus' authority and you are submitted to Jesus, that is the only way you can be over the devil. The only way you can overcome circumstances is to be in submission to Jesus. To be submitted to his authority, to be submitted to his will, to be submitted to his plans, to be submitted to his love, to be submitted to his teachings. It's not perfection that God's looking for. But if you want to overcome everything that the enemy throws at you, just submit more to Jesus. Come under his authority. Come under his banner, if you will. Okay? James 4:6. Submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God in everything you know to do. You know where you're submitting to God and where you're not. God's not mad at you, but there is where you need to move in. You want your faith to increase? Submit more to him. When I submit to God, and there's nothing between me and him, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. When you're asking God for something, when you're coming against the enemy, when you're fighting a battle, the only way you can truly resist the devil and he will flee is to submit to God first. What is God asking of you? How can you submit more fully to the Master? How can you submit more fully to Jesus? The more you submit to him and begin, say begin. You begin where you're at. I believe, help thou therefore my unbelief. The Lord will not turn you down. He'll begin to work with you right where you are. And what we are not ready to receive in terms of the maturity of our faith, how many of you are glad for his mercy? Anybody ever gotten mercy? Amen. Hallelujah. Spiritual entities must obey spiritual commands. Spiritual entities that come against you, sickness, disease, depression, oppression, they obey spiritual commands from God. They don't obey men. They obey men who are in authority and under authority. The man said, the centurion says, I am under someone and I have people under me. I am under someone and I am over others. If you want to be over the devil, you need to be under Jesus. Okay? I'm talking about priorities and how we can increase our faith and how we can have the qualities of great faith. How many of you want... You know, it's awesome to me. This man and the Syrophoenician woman are the only ones we see in God's word that God says, Jesus says, they have great faith. I'm impressed, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I'm impressed. Now, he's not impressed with the disciples necessarily. He's not impressed with the 70 that he sent out. He says, I've not seen this kind of faith. Don't even come close. I love it because it wasn't just the called ones. It was the ones who had heard about him, believed in him, and it doesn't take great maturity. It just takes simple faith. Simple. 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 God's faith is simple. We make it too hard. Okay, that was number three. let's turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. Let's go to number 4. Let's put number 4 up there first. Can we do that? The quality of speaking to your mountains. The quality of speaking to your mountains. Now, mountains are giants. I go back to Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Okay? When he's talking about a mountain, he's talking about giants. He's talking about mountains. He's talking about sickness, talking about disease, talking about issues that come against you, talking about a lack of hope, talking about fear, talking about anything that is contrary to the will of God, the word of God, and the plan of God. Those are mountains. You need to be able to speak to those mountains. Let's look at what Jesus did. For assuredly I say to you, I'm sorry, let's go on to Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. Now he arose, Jesus did, from the synagogue and entered into Simon Peter's house. That's Peter, the one who denied him eventually and the one who was restored into the ministry. But Simon's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, in other words, was sick with a high fever. Now there's times when the Lord referred to fevers, but then this is a high fever. This fever is unto death. This fever is going to kill her. This fever is so bad that Jesus, you need to come now, okay? It's so interesting when they say, come now, Jesus, the Lord just gets no hurry. Because it's never too late for Jesus. I said, it's never too late for you. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Talking about Lazarus, he says, he's not dead, he's just sleeping. You know what he's saying? He's just waiting for me to wake him up. Somebody say, amen. Say, it's never too late. It's never too late for you where Jesus is concerned. Okay, let's read on. He arose from the synagogue and entered to Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. Okay, so he comes. So he stood over her, and what did he do? What? Read it for me, please. Okay, all right, it's good. Now, the other 250 of you, would you say it, please? He what? He rebuked. What did he rebuke? He what? Hallelujah. Y'all are awesome. If this was Oprah and I said, look under your seat, you got a new car, if you're flying keys, you'd all scream and holler when you got those keys. How many of you would scream and holler with joy if Jesus healed you of cancer? Now say rebuke the fever like you mean it. Rebuke the fever. Hallelujah. He rebukes heart trouble in Jesus' name. I said, he rebukes cancer in Jesus' name. I said, he rebukes any kind of mental illness in Jesus' name. He rebukes lack in Jesus' name. Lack is, poverty's killing people all over the world, just like sickness and disease. I'm so glad that Jesus says, I have the power and I give you the authority to rebuke these things in Jesus' name. Jesus spoke to a fever. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the waves. Jesus spoke to his disciples. Jesus commanded them. And whatever he said, they did. Whatever the Lord commands, it comes to pass. Jesus spoke to a fever. You know what blesses me? The fever heard Jesus speak. I said, the fever heard Jesus speak. Hallelujah. I said, if a fever can hear, cancer can hear. Hallelujah. If fever can hear, then heart trouble can hear. If fever can hear, your bank account can hear. Oh, somebody help me. If fever can hear, depression hears you say, I rebuke you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I rebuke fever, the Lord said. And fever obeyed. Hallelujah. 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 Once you start using these, you get addicted because your eyes don't want to focus when you have them off. Jesus spoke to these things. You're stronger than you think. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The great quality of faith is that you say, that you speak. He spoke to these things. If there's something in your body or on your body that is sickness or disease, right now, in the name of Jesus, you can speak to that issue in his name and command it to go, to dry up, to leave and to go. I say in the name of Jesus, lungs be healed, kidneys be healed, skin disease be healed, cancer of the skin be healed, arteries be healed, hallelujah, be healed, sickness leave, be clean, be clear, grow, go in Jesus' mighty name. It's a matter of confidence and faith in Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus walked in. He didn't speak to Peter, didn't speak to Peter's mother-in-law. He didn't speak to the woman who was sick, didn't speak to her daddy, didn't speak to her daughter, didn't speak to her son. He spoke to the disease, and the disease obeyed him. It's time you spoke to the disease, and the disease will obey you because you stand in the authority. Well, I don't feel very authoritative. You don't go by feelings. You go by faith in his word. No greater faith have I found in Israel. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I want great faith. I don't want maintaining faith. I don't want get by faith. I want great faith. Hallelujah. Why do you think he put this in here? That little Syrophoenician woman. He looked at her and she says, Lord, my daughter's grievously vexed of a devil. And he says, you're the wrong kind. Sound racist. He says, healing is a children's bread. That's for Israel. He says, why should I give bread to the dogs? Well, that's pretty straight. That's ugly, isn't it? You know what? Sometimes, you know what? Jesus will test your faith. He don't test your faith to make you look stupid. He tests your faith so you can grow into the fullness thereof. And you know what? When you feel or when you think you're being rejected, like it's really going down, even God is against me, you need to shut the mouth of the devil. You need to open the mouth of your spirit. And you need to say, even the dogs have crumbs. She says, okay, if the bread is for the children's table, then I'll take the crumbs. Oh, hallelujah. Because I got news for you. Even the crumbs of Jesus' body heals the sickness and disease that tries to destroy your body. Hallelujah. I will have crumbs. I said, I will have crumbs. I will have crumbs. God didn't call it weak. He called it great faith. Anybody want great faith? Oh, I want great faith. All right, I'll test it. Turn to Psalm 91. Yeah, I don't know if I put that on there, Andrew, but let's turn to Psalm 91. That's what I was looking up here. I think it's, here it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still with me? Say, I'm stronger than I thought. I have great faith. I can have great faith. I have the qualities of great faith. Hallelujah. 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 I need to preach this to myself. Hallelujah. I've been reading it all week. I've been studying it all week. I've been believing it all week. And every time I get down and I pray about it and I read about it, the devil jumps on me and said, it ain't going to happen. That's baloney. That's not going to happen. You know what? When he's telling you it ain't so, that's a good sign it is so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this thing on my side of my body. And that thing will disappear and drop off and dry up just like the others did. Because I don't have maintained faith. I don't have little faith. I have great faith. And I'm opening up my mouth. Hallelujah. I'm going out on a limb because I'm tired of cancer taking my family before it's time. Somebody help me here today. I am just a Pentecostal preacher today. And I say, if you can say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, God will back you up. Does anybody want to take a chance on great faith? Does anybody want to take a chance on daring to believe God? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 We were in the early service, and I was preaching this message, and Greg had the DVD going, you know, the live thing, and he had a friend who has a friend who was in a coma, and they were listening to the word, and they were listening to the message. And when I said, "Arise and your enemies be scattered," the man woke up out of that coma. Hallelujah. And they called us and said, "He'd been listening to the preaching of the word, and now he's awake." Hallelujah. It may sound ridiculous, but when it sounds ridiculous, just keep speaking. I will have crumbs. Hallelujah. Well, this is just emotionalism. No, it ain't. It ain't emotionalism. It's in spite of emotions. It's in spite of facts. I'm not denying facts, but I'm not denying God's truth. Doctor tells me I've got something on me. I understand that. I appreciate that. But that's not the final word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Carrie Ann, I said it's not the final word. If it was the final word, you wouldn't be here today. But you're here. I said you're here. I said you're here. Every time the devil tells you you're done, you say, "I'm still here. I should have been gone, but I'm here." If he could have killed you, he'd already done it. Oh, somebody shout right now. Hallelujah. Put Psalm 91 up there again, son. Hallelujah. Did I tell you what verse? I didn't, did I? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to verse 7. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's not it. I'm reading. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, El Shaddai. Hallelujah. The Almighty One. Hallelujah. 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 I will say. Say, I will say. That's one of the qualities of faith. Saying to this mountain, "I will say of the Lord," say it, "He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." I wish I had this in the NLT. "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers." Oh, I love it. "And under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror." Do you hear that? You shall not be afraid of the terror. Moni, you shall not be afraid of the terror. Hallelujah. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Now here's where your faith is tested. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Goes on to say in the last 3 verses of this chapter. Hold on. This has been inside me for about 2.5 weeks. He says, because, verse 14, because, we'll go back to the other verse 7. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." There's 3 things I see here. Number one, you need to be in the secret place of the Most High. Number one, you need to say, the Lord is my shield and my buckler. In him I will trust. You know what that means? It says, doesn't mean I'm going to. It means I will to trust him in spite of every negative circumstance. And then he says one other thing. It has to do with love and praise. He says, I'll love him. He says, I am going to do these things for you because you set your love on me. Does anybody here still love Jesus? Yeah, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's a bunch of baloney. You were never worthy. You'll never deserve it. You'll never earn it. You get it because he loves you. And you love him back. So what's left? Well, I'm not perfect. I haven't been in the secret place enough. I already told you. It's not how much you pray. It's who you pray to. So what's left? You need to speak faith in the midst, hear me, of your circumstance. When feeling rises up and says, they just told me I have heart trouble. They just told me I had a heart attack. They just told me I've got this malignancy. They just, and everything within you says, they just said. In any other situation in life, you've got to give Jesus something to work with. Faith. And it all centers in on this scripture. Go back to verse 7. It's one that many of us have shied away from because we'll say, well, who am I? I love God, but she loved God, and look what happened to her. I love God, and he loves God, but look what happened to him. And the enemy tries to steal your faith. A thousand shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand. But you need to give God something to work with. In the middle of that battle on Normandy, people fell by the thousands. But there were people praying, it shall not come near me. It shall not come near me. It shall not come near me. Well, what if they prayed and it died? I'd rather die in faith. I said, I'd rather die in faith. But you better hear this. If you ain't believing it and you ain't speaking it, I believe, help thou in my unbelief. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You may not believe totally, but you believe in your heart as much as you're able. Somebody say amen. I'm growing in faith. I'm growing in faith. I ain't never going to get through that thing if I don't give him something to work with. So it's not arrogance when you say, it shall not come near me. It's faith against every odd. It's faith against every report. Whose report will you believe? Say, I believe the report of the Lord. Yes, there's a land of milk and honey. Yes, there's fruit that we got to carry with stakes. The Valley of Eshcol. You know what I mean? It meant the Valley of Clusters, because the grapes were so heavy they had to have sticks to hang the grapes on, and two grown men carry it, one in the front, one in the back, or maybe four, I don't know, because the grapes were so big and so heavy. Oh yeah, it's a land of milk and honey. Everybody say, nevertheless, there are giants in the land. And they're from the sons of Anak. There were giants in the land. They were the offspring, before God forbid it, of angels coming and cohabitating with human women. And thus we get many of the myths that were based partially in fact of these giants that had superhuman powers. You may not believe that, but just read the Bible. How many know God's a supernatural God? How many believe he can tell the oceans not to come up on the land? He can create giants and then say, no, that's not what I want. You did that on your own. You have a will, but you'll never do it again. Boom. There are giants in the land. Faith is a matter of focus, because Caleb and Joshua says, oh yeah, I don't deny any of that, but here's what I say about it. We are well able to take the land. They're scared of us. They're scared spitless of us. They've heard that Israel has a cloud by night and a pillar of fire by night, rather, and a cloud by day. And they've heard where we've gone into nations and destroyed kings and destroyed armies. And they've heard about us, and they're scared spitless for us about us. And I'm telling you, they're ripe for the picking. We are not just able. We are well able to take the land. Say focus. David never once called Goliath a giant. Never once. He says, you know what he called him? He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of the Lord God Almighty? Focus. So when I tell you that this is not arrogance, it's faith. What does God need to work for you? What does he require in order to bring the promises he's given to you to pass? He requires faith. Will you say, though 1,000 fall at my left and 10,000 fall at my right hand, it will not come nigh me. It's not arrogance. It's giving God faith to work with. Hallelujah. So, what are you going to speak? What are you going to say? Will you stand? And will you speak faith? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a word of prophecy through tongues and interpretation. We praise you, Lord, for that exhortation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Holy is your name. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment before we're dismissed, shall we? We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Put number 6 up there. Hallelujah. If you have it. Glory to your name. Not verse 6, the quality of faith, number 6. Hallelujah. The quality of grace and repentance leads to great faith. Grace and repentance. Remember the story of how that the lame man was let down through the roof in the New Testament. And he had 4 crazy friends who helped him get there. I just feel like I need to say this. When they got him down through the roof, the quality of grace and repentance. So much of what we don't get from God is because we don't feel worthy and we have guilt in our heart. I didn't do it right. I didn't do enough. Whatever it is, prayer, I made mistakes. And it hinders your faith. 1 John says that if your heart doesn't condemn you, your faith will not be hindered. But sometimes our heart condemns us because we carry guilt long after the Lord's forgotten it. We carry condemnation of, I didn't do enough. I'm not close enough to God. I don't pray enough. I'm talking about how you increase your faith. And what I see is that man that was let down through the roof, He and his four friends had to have faith because the room was full of disciples and Sadducees and Pharisees and people, and they had sickness and disease in that room. And the Bible says that the presence of the Lord was there to heal anybody. But nobody got healed except this one man who came down through the roof. They had faith, but there was something missing, and the Lord knew it. He perceived it. Jesus perceived it. Jesus is in there teaching. Nobody's getting healed. Here comes this man. Oh, that's faith. But you know what he said? He said something first, and I want you to hear it. I'm going to close with it. He says, he looked at him. He saw their faith, but he says, there's something lacking. Remember what he said? He says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, hallelujah. God knows what you need even before you ask. He's watched your life from the beginning all the way till now. He sees your faults and your failures, and that's why he died and rose again. He loved you so much that he'll tell you, I've already forgiven you your sins. He knew that that man's faith would be hindered because he had sins that he felt like he had not been forgiven for. Is that so unusual? How many of you know when you get sick, you always look back and say, well, I messed up? God doesn't punish you. I said, God doesn't punish you. The enemy sees an open door and he runs through it like a freight train. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what I just need to tell you is this. The Lord said, I want to remove that. Your sins have been forgiven. There's nothing between you and me. There's nothing to keep you from believing that I am your healer. Son, that you may know that I am who I said I am. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. And that man came in on a mat, but he left carrying the mat. Hallelujah. Because his sins were forgiven. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And relating to your faith, please put 1 Timothy 1:12 up there, and I'll close with this. Is this okay? 1 Timothy 1:12. Have you got it up there, son? Hallelujah. Andrew's a miracle worker. There he goes. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. How many believe you were born to serve the Lord? Let me see your hands. How many believe you have a ministry here on earth? How many also will admit you've made big mistakes? You know what I'm here to tell you? In the way of healing and not hindering your faith and have the qualities of great faith is somebody who can take that scripture and realize the Lord called me, the Lord counted me faithful, even though he knew I was going to make a mistake, and he still put me in the ministry. That's love. That's forgiveness. That's power. That's mercy. That's grace. If you're going to have great faith, you must depend on his mercy, his forgiveness, his ability to restore. Father, I thank you that you've made the provision for us to walk in faith. And I thank you, Lord, of those you're healing, and those you're delivering, and those you're raising up, those that you're curing, those that you are delivering from addictions of every sort. And so we lift up our hands and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, that my faith is not hindered. Thank you, Lord, that though 1,000 may fall and 10,000 at my right, it shall not come nigh me. That is my faith. That is my declaration. I receive it. I receive it. And I thank you for the provision that you've given me to receive everything you promised. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.